if you have your Bibles, hold them up. Each week at New Beginnings, we hold up the Bible. Because everything that I'm going to say comes from the Bible. This is not my opinion of the Bible. This is the Bible. We're going to talk about God's Word. And we make this proclamation every Sunday, holding up our Bibles. Here's what we say. This is the Word of God. Say it with me. Leave it over my circumstances. I'll choose to trust it whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Throughout biblical history, God has used signs and wonders to let humanity know that he is intimately involved in their life. God used the sign of Hezekiah's shadow going back 10 steps to show Hezekiah and to prove to King Hezekiah that he would be healed from his affliction and would live. In Psalm 71, verse 5, look what it says. For you have been my hope, sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. Look at verse 7. I have become a sign to many. You are my strong refuge. Listen, the psalmist is saying there, because I have relied on you, because I've trusted you and followed you, I now have become a sign to the people around me. I want you to know that in 2020, God is still using signs. Look what Mark said in Mark 16. In Mark 16, verse 17, it says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. It says they will drive out demons. They'll speak in new tongues. They'll pick up snakes with their hands. I'm not going to do that, but I mean, you're welcome to if you want to. They said they'll drink deadly poison and it won't hurt them. They'll place their hands on sick people and they will get well. Listen, he says these signs will follow them that believe. Believer in the house. Believer listening to me, watching me online right now. Believer, you have the power of God living in you. Amen. These signs will follow you. As you can see, throughout history, God used signs to prepare, to warn, and to get his people ready and let them know that he was at work in their lives. Continuing today, I continue with the sign of the swaddling clothes and the manger. Week number one, I was preparing the message, the sign of the virgin birth. And the night before Thanksgiving, I was tested positive for COVID. And so Pastor Carla stepped up and did a phenomenal job, as she always does, delivering to you the message about the virgin birth. The sign of the virgin birth. Last week, I talked to you about the sign of the star. Now, remember, December the 21st, this year, right after sundown, in the southwest sky, there's going to be the star of Bethlehem is going to shine once again. It hasn't shined this close to planet Earth to be visible with the naked eye in some 800 years. But this year, it will be so visible. They said it will look as if Jupiter and Saturn are literally crashing into one another. That's going to cause those points of light, and you'll be able to see the Star of Bethlehem this year. Don't forget, March the 21st, Monday night, right after sundown, and then at 7 o'clock, you come here for the children's play. What did I say? March? How did I get to March? We're in December. No, we're going forward. Don't listen to what I say. I used to have I saw a lieutenant when I was a policeman. He said, don't do as I do as I say. Yes, sir, because he was a bad example of doing all the wrong stuff. All right, and then today, again, the swaddling clothes and the manger. You know, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, man, how did the Jews miss it? Those Jews must have been thick in the skull, right? The signs were all around them. They saw them. They witnessed them. They saw Jesus in the flesh walking the earth, healing people and setting people free from demons and all kinds of things. And yet they ignored the signs. I wouldn't have missed it. And I would tell you, you would have probably missed it too. You know why I think that? Because I drive on 190 and I watch the way you miss the signs every day. You know, red light means don't go. Green light means go, get off your phone, you know? Like, we miss the signs every day because we're too busy or we're ignoring them, literally ignoring the signs around us. If you would, turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 2. And we're going to going to just really just study the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2 today. Here we go. I'm going to read it to you. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, I want you to focus on verse 6. It's very important. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes or in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. It would appear upon the initial reading of the story, as I've read it numerous times, I'm sure you have and have heard it as well many, many times, that things seem to be out of control. When in actuality, things were exactly as God wanted them to be, to the exact location and timing. The manger scene, as portrayed all over the world, is being in that little stable with the little wooden manger. I'm about to blow up your Christmas, by the way, is so far from what it really looked like or would have been like. It actually would have looked nothing like that. In actuality, the stable where Jesus was born was a stable, a particular stable known as the Tower of the Flock. The Tower of the Flock was the stable where all of the lambs used in temple sacrifice would be born. There were shepherds that watched over those flocks, the flocks to be used for temple sacrifice. And when it was time for one of those lambs to give birth, they would take that lamb into the Tower of the Flock. Someone's calling me on my iPad. Can I ignore that? Hope it wasn't important. Yes. I should have answered. Yes, Jesus. The Tower of the Flock. They were not there accidentally. I want you to understand that God put them in the place where the lambs to be used for sacrifice were to be born. Jesus was born exactly where all the other lambs to be used for sacrifice were born. The Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world was born exactly where he was supposed to be. Now, that little wooden manger wouldn't have been a wooden manger. That little wooden manger would have been a porcelain or some sort of really fine stone, and it would have been white, almost completely white, so that when they put this lamb in that thing, wrapped in swaddling clothes to protect it from breaking its limbs, they would have placed it in that little trough to inspect it for blemishes, because remember, only perfect lambs could be used in temple sacrifice. They weren't just any shepherds either. These were the shepherds. The shepherds that God had set aside to watch over the flocks to be used to worship him. It was customary that when a lamb was born in the Tower of the Flock, they wrapped that lamb in those swaddling clothes to protect it, then place it in the manger, that smooth stone manger, so that they could inspect it. Remember, only the unblemished, spotless lambs were suitable to be used in sacrifice. When the angel appears to the shepherds, they didn't have to go from house to house, from barn to barn. They didn't have to go looking for the Messiah. They knew exactly where he was going to be, and they went straight there. You don't see them have a conversation. Hey, you think he went this way or that way? Which way should we go? No, they leave the fields, and they go to the place that Jesus was born. Do you know that the Jews have been waiting for the Messiah for literally thousands of years up to this point? And he had finally come to earth, wrapped as a newborn lamb and placed in a manger, the same way the other lambs were placed to be inspected for blemishes. Listen, there are five truths about this story that I want to share with you today that I believe are significant and relevant to your life as a believer today. Five signs about these events that I want you to take with you this Christmas season. The first one is this. These events didn't happen accidentally. Look what it says. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. Look what it says. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. I want you to understand, in God's economy, things don't just happen. I want you to understand that those things that you thought are accidental in your life are all part of God's plan, preparing you, moving you, strategically getting you ready for the next thing that he has for you. Caesar Augustus didn't issue decrees every year. This was, it says, the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. That hadn't happened in years. It wasn't just a coincidence that they decided that this particular year they were going to do it, that the time, not only at the time Mary was pregnant, but the time Mary was due to have the baby. You don't think it was an accident that while they were there, the time came. Oh, what a coincidence that the baby's going to be due today. You think God didn't know the baby was due that day? God is moving things in your life as well, trying to get you to see that the things happening in your life are not accidental at all. They are not coincidental at all. They're strategic, and it is God that is moving things on your behalf, and he's preparing you for what's next. Sometimes we, in the midst of the things going on in our lives, we stop and we ask questions like this. God, why? Why am I going through this? And instead, we should say, God, what are you getting ready to do in my life? You must be preparing me. You must be doing something great, because I wouldn't be going through this junk if you didn't have something better for me on the other side. But not one of us does. God, why? I've heard that question literally thousands of times in the last 20 years from congregants that have been under us. And called, I don't understand why we're going through this. I don't understand why. Maybe it's God preparing you. Maybe it's God getting ready to do something in your life. And if he doesn't make you go through this, you won't be ready. Quit looking at your life as a series of accidents. And start thanking God for making the things happen that he makes happen on your behalf. Oh, God, I don't like I'm going through it, but you must be doing it for me. You know, the Bible says in Romans 8:28 that God works all things together for the good of those who love him. Amen. Next time you're going through some stuff you don't like, oh, Lord, thank you so much. Call me and tell me that. You hear? Oh, Pastor Eddie, I just want to let you know. I am going through the worst time of my life, but thank the Lord. I ain't heard that conversation yet. I have yet to hear that conversation. They call me, please pray for me. These things didn't happen accidentally. Second truth I want to share with you today is God is aligning events to get you to the place you're supposed to be. Luke 2:6, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. While they were there. Could have happened while they were on the road. Could have happened before she got on the donkey over in Nazareth, but it didn't. It happened while they were there. Why? Because according to prophecy, that baby had to be born in Bethlehem. And if that baby wasn't born in Bethlehem, that baby wasn't Jesus, wasn't God in the flesh. How many times you ever read that story and you wondered, poor Mary, having a baby without a place to stay and having to put that little baby in a straw manger. I've seen you guys have babies in hospitals. You didn't even want to put that baby in that glass, that glass crib. Is that thing clean? Did you wipe that out? I see dirt. I see specks of dirt on that. Clean it. Sanitize it again. This is my baby. This wasn't just any baby. This was God in the flesh. As I told you, they were exactly where God wanted them to be and exactly at the time they were supposed to be there. The fact that there was no guest room at the inn was only because Jesus needed to be born in the exact place he was born, the tower of the flock, because only the spotless lambs could be birthed in the tower of the flock, only the one sufficient to be sacrificed for sin. And remember, the sin of lambs and bulls was only sufficient for a limited time, but Jesus' sacrifice was all sufficient. So often things happen in our lives, and instead of trying to find the blessing in it, we find ourselves complaining through it. God, I can't believe you called me here. I can't believe you're doing this in my life. God, you called me to have a baby, and not even the Motel 6 has an open room. Instead of seeing the sovereign hand of God over your life and over your situation, that he's put you exactly where you're supposed to be and at the exact time you're supposed to be there, and quit looking around and start looking up. God may be moving and removing people and events in your life so that he can get you to the place that he needs you to be. The place, here it is, that you were destined to be. He has a destiny for you. And one day he's moving things in your life to get you and your destiny to meet. And when you and your destiny meet, your life takes on an entirely new meaning and purpose. You know, the greatest question of humanity is, why am I here? You don't never need to answer ask that question again once you know the destiny that God has for you. Quit looking around, start looking up, and remember, God is aligning the events in your life to get you to the place. Yes. Number three, truth. He's got good news for, listen to me, for you today. Luke 2:8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy. Here it is. For what? All the people. Does that include you? Yes. I think it does. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born in you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Here's the good news. A Savior has been born to you. In Israel, up to this point, historically, they had the law of Moses. And once a year, the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement, the word atonement in the Old Testament means to cover. The Day of Atonement, they would take the lamb or the bull, and they would lay their hands on it, signifying the transference of sin, cut its throat, spilling its blood, because remember, blood had to be spilled to cover sin, sprinkle its blood on the altar and do all those steps, and burn it up on the altar. And their sin would be atoned, covered for 1 year. But not so with the blood of Jesus. The good news is this wasn't just any lamb. This wasn't just any lamb, any spotless lamb. It was the spotless Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the whole world. That's yours and that's mine and that's everybody out there, the ones you like and don't like. That's good news. And the world around you needs to hear about this good news. Listen, this Christmas season, we got to tell somebody, hey, the story of Jesus is still good news. What's cool about the news, it's not just for you and I. This good news is for the whole world. It was for all the people, right? Now, I am of the mindset that Christmas 2020 is unlike any other Christmas, I believe, that I've ever seen or been involved in. And I believe that you would agree with that. We've seen things and experienced things this year in 2020 that this world has never experienced. A global pandemic, right? We have had in our country civil unrest, racial divide. We have had our country literally divided down the middle about who needs to sit in a house called the White House up in Washington, D.C. And I'll be honest with you, who cares who sits in that house? We know who sits in the house. Listen, we gotta remind people around us that it's still good news. How many of you watch the news? Any news watchers in the house? I don't watch news. You know why? Because there ain't no good news on TV. I open the Bible. You know why? It ain't nothing but good news. And it's full of promises. They say some 7,200 promises are contained in the Word of God, and I'm trying to remember every one of them. So I can claim every one of them. How many of you know five? I bet you I don't know five of the promises. I bet you I know 50 right off the top of my head. Maybe more. I've been studying promises for a long time. But now I promise you, if you don't get into that, somebody's calling me again.
Extended warranty.
I guess, right? Yeah, you need a home warranty, an extended warranty, life insurance. My kid's school has COVID. It's like, it calls all kinds of stuff. But I got good news. Regardless of what you've been through this year, the story of Jesus is still good news. Number four, listen to me. Whatever God said to you will happen just as he said it would happen. I love what happens in Luke 2:15. When the angels had left the shepherds and gone back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." Now, if more of us would just say, let's go see this thing that has happened. Let's go see what the Lord has told us about. Instead of going, you know, logically, this doesn't really make sense. First of all, virgins don't have babies. Why would she have a baby in a manger? Why would she wrap it like you do a lamb? It doesn't make sense. This is ridiculous. Were those angels an apparition? Did we really see that? Did we have too much wine at dinner tonight? I mean, like you start making all kinds of excuses as to why not to go, but not one time did the shepherd say, hey, let's go and see this thing that has happened. So they hurried off in verse 16 and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. You know that regardless of how far-fetched it may sound, listen to me, please. If you heard God say it, it will happen just as he said it would happen. Do you know how many times over the last 20 years that we just believe God as far-fetched as some stuff sounded, right? And yet we watch God over and over and over do what only God could do. This building that you're sitting in is testimony to that right here. And I can take you back through the last 10 years of this church starting and tell you testimony after testimony of look what God has done. And we're going to continue here using that phrase, look what God has done. You know why I like to say look what God has done? Because God likes to show off. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean that when we give God glory, you know what he says? I give you more things to give me praise about. Amen. And so we just keep giving God glory. We just keep saying, look what God has done. Look at the great things he's done. Because he said it, it will happen just as he said it will happen. Listen, I'm telling you this morning that some of you just need to believe God and take him at his word.
Amen.
And if we do, we'll see more miracles than we ever thought possible. I believe that we're seeing things happen within our church because we just are dumb enough to believe God. I say that all the time about myself, Kevin. I'm just dumb enough to believe God and take him at his word. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus uses the phrase, just believe. Just believe. And it's always followed by, just believe and you'll receive. Just believe and this will happen. Just believe your son will be here. Just believe your daughter will be healed. Just believe. Just believe. And God is telling somebody, either in this place or watching us online, just believe. It sounds too simple, right? That's all I have to do. That's it. See, we think we have to jump through some spiritual hoops in order to make God move or to get God to move. And God just said, the only thing that activates me is faith. If you want to see me move in your life like you've never seen me move, just believe. Somebody in here just needs to believe and go and see this thing God has done. And number five, last truth I want to share with you this morning. Somebody else needs to hear what you have seen. Verse 17 of Luke 2 says, when they had seen him, Jesus, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Listen, our community and the world around us still need to hear about this Messiah, this King, the Savior of the world. My question to you this morning is, will you go and tell somebody the real reason for the season? Now, the problem is not a lot of us shop in person anymore. We're doing a lot of our shopping online. You know why I know that? Because I see these Amazon and UPS and FedEx trucks all through my neighborhood all day long. And a lot of stuff on my doorstep because my wife and my kids are click, 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 buying stuff online. And I get to open the packages when they get there and see what's in them. But the next time that you're out in person and somebody wants to know why it is you're buying gifts or who you're buying gifts for, say, you know what? I'm trying to just be generous, to show the people that are important in my life the love of God. I'm trying to show them that God still lives and he lives in me, and I want the people around me to know him like I know him. I want to tell the world what I've seen and heard and has been a part of my life so that they too may have the chance to know him. And God is looking for somebody that will take the good news to the world around us. I'm telling you, this world needs it in a bad way. Would you stand with me? At this crucial time in history, people need to hear about some good news from people that have seen and witnessed the goodness of God, as Carlos said a minute ago, in the land of the living. Listen, you know these stories about the Bible, this isn't stuff that happened a long time ago. It's stuff that's still happening right now. And it's going to take somebody to say, hey, let me tell you what's happening at my church. Let me tell you what's happening, what God's doing in my church. Let me tell you what I'm seeing and witnessing in my church. And I'm telling you, when you start pointing people to Jesus, more people will come to know Jesus. God's looking for men and women that will tell others the good news. The significance of the swaddling clothes in the manger is that the events didn't happen accidentally. That God is aligning the events. He aligned the events of their lives, and he's aligning the events of your life to get you to the place where you and your destiny can meet. Listen to me. Whatever you've gone through this year, he's got good news for you. Whatever God said, no matter how far-fetched it may sound or appear, quit allowing logic, quit allowing your understanding to get you to look away from the miracle that God wants to do in your life. If God said it, it will happen. And lastly, somebody else needs to hear about the God that's in your life. So my challenge to you this season is that as you're out and about, as you're out in the hustle and bustle of the Christmas season, that you'll tell somebody else about what you've seen and heard. Today, if you realize That you're not an accident, and that the events of your life are not accidental. Raise your hand. If you can see the hand of God aligning things in your life to get you to the place, raise your hand. If you receive the good news for you, raise your hand. If you're ready to tell somebody else what you've seen and heard, raise your hand. Oh, Lord, look at all the hands all over this place. Heavenly Father, I pray the men and women of New Beginnings, those here that are present and those watching us online, God, that you would empower us and fill us to go be ambassadors of this good news to the world around us. God, that you are no accident, that the events of your birth were no accident, and that the events of our lives are not accidental either. God, that you are aligning the events of our life to get us to the place where we and our destinies can meet. God, that the good news is for us today. And God, we are ready to tell somebody what we've seen and what we've heard. I pray, God, an empowerment by your Spirit over the people of New Beginnings Church, those present and those watching online today, as they go with them into the world around them, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. See you next week.